go to thecognitiverampage.com. Feel free to contribute, donate, keep fueling the change, whatever it is that you guys can do to help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support and, of course, your contributions. Love you.
The Cognitive Rampage, a scientific approach to self-discovery, change, and life optimization, is now available on Amazon. What I do in the book is I fuse the latest research from the cognitive, behavioral, social, environmental, and biological sciences. It's not just motivational fluff and wordplay. Now, I do talk about my own story, so there's some kind of inspiration in there, but I'm not just spinning words and hyping you up with motivational fluff. Whether you need a life change, simply enjoy self-exploration and optimization, want to discover new hidden passions, or reduce the life-altering effects of toil, anxiety, depression, all of those issues, this book is for you. This book is not a cookie-cutter method of steps to follow. You'll customize the scientific framework with your own personal beliefs to build your authentic change. That way you assimilate it faster and quicker. It's not just copying my beliefs and telling you step one, step two. These will come from your beliefs as how you extend and build the foundation upon this framework. You'll use this framework throughout your whole life, through every change, and through every age. These are not empty words of motivational spin. This book is an experience. The Cognitive Rampage is based in science and is built from your beliefs. It's a path to help you unleash your desired change. You can apply this method on your own with no harmful side effects. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage on this New Year's. I know we have certainly been living that Cognitive Rampage over here for sure. We are live. Welcome, Steve.
Welcome.
To your own podcast.
Hey.
Welcome, Patricia, to, your own podcast.
Well, thank you.
It is a new year, and we have reached the 2018 mark about 20 years ahead of how long I thought I'd live.
Hooray.
That's it. That's what we've been left with, is hooray. So, in a reflection of the year. A reflection of 2017. What's your reflection? What's some takeaways? What are you thinking about? What's the change, if you will, into the new year?
I'd say before we even do that, how great is it that the three of us are together? This is the first time we've actually, the whole team, right?
This is.
It is.
Dun, dun, dun.
It is. It's the whole team of TCR live right? on the podcast for the first time. We are all here. Steve has been here from the get. I don't know what year it was.
2.5 years ago.
That seems, I thought it was more.
Is it really?
2015.
Was it? Yeah. August. July.
Steve July, seems August, a bit well versed.
Yeah. Well, I had a year or two of Ustream bullshit before that.
Yeah.
Before I had Steve's help. Okay. Yeah. It was shitty.
Well, everything has come up a bit.
Up a bit.
Yeah. Technology.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just Steve. Steve showed up and I was like, we can do what?
Yeah, Steve definitely pulled this together.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit.
Why don't you? He said, well, why don't we could do the thing and then we can do the thing and then we'll do that. And I went, what? You can, what?
Okay.
Can you do that? Yeah. I'll take care of it. Just forget it, Adam. I'll do it.
Yeah. He's pretty probably much. Like looking at me going, uh-huh. That's what you're supposed to do.
And then
I'm like, Steve, hey.
And then Patricia showed up.
I'm like, you know how to do this, right? You're so good at it. I did that reverse psychology where I'm like, show us. I know you're so awesome. It's been going so well so far. Can you teach us?
That's the way it works.
So maybe let's start with the reflection, Steve, because I'm going to put you on the spot here, Steve.
Yeah.
As the producer of TCR.
There's some videos playing in the background, by the way.
There's some videos playing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That
somebody
guy.
You used to know.
Somebody I used to know.
I'm not crazy button? About his belly button. That was not weird. So attractive.
That was weird. If you're watching the podcast,
major
you saw,
lint.
Yeah. Belly button lint. So I have to know, Steve.
Yeah. Mm.
It's been years since we've been doing the podcast, and as a producer of this podcast, as we go into 2018, what would you like to see? What would you like to see that we do, where we go, what we talk about, who we talk about? What would you like to see us go?
I'd like to see us go wherever the podcast takes, wherever it takes us. No specific, like, we need to go down this river. I think you go where the river takes you.
Ooh, he skipped it from a river.
Put your boat in the water and see where you go. We ain't got no rudders.
I would agree with that.
This is the ark.
Then how fucking tired of me do you get with every other month I go, I've seen a new direction of the podcast. I have to do it like this. We have to change everything and make it different.
Well, again, you're part of the boat.
You know, so, what?
Again, I think that's the waves. That's where the waves come in and go, ooh, we should do this. So let's do it.
And try it.
Worst thing that happens is nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what's going to happen? People are going to go, this podcast sucks.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And then they'll either go, well, I like the other ones, or all of these podcast sucks. Then you didn't want to be here anyway.
I have an input.
I really liked Adam in 2014.
You know what? Here's the thing. Every single relationship you have, you want them to mix it up. You want something different the next day, or something that kind of makes you go, hey, I didn't know you could do that. That's what the podcast does. What the fuck was that? Yeah.
But that's called Jefferson Whiskey.
That there was what the podcast did. And along with a couple of drinks and nothing more, but it don't matter no more because I don't give a shit. I accentuate my T's on the New Year's. I don't give a shit.
I took you hunting one time and you've come back with this southern drawl.
Right. Don't put a rifle in my hands because it ain't going to leave.
That's what happens when you kill a boar.
Yeah. And then skin it. For everyone listening, Patricia shot her first hog this weekend as we went hunting, and I took her out. And well, as she stepped up and decided to also skin her hog, which I loved very much because that is the full routine of it. It's not just about taking the animal and giving the blessing and saying thank you as we did.
Yes.
But it's also about what you did. You stepped up and you said, look, if this is what I do, I'm going to finish it. And you did the skinning, you did the full preparation, and we ate it today.
Yeah. I wanted the full experience. I mean, I'm not this amazing shot or whatever, but
yes, you are.
It was really gratifying to.
It was a beautiful shot because it felt no pain. It was down and over.
It dropped. But more importantly than anything, when I went to go skin it, I felt like I was actually saying thank you for feeding my family. And I didn't feel like I just had this perfect shot, whatever. I didn't feel like that at all. I actually felt like I'm excited to take this apart and actually put it in the oven. Actually, you prepared it, but it was really yummy. And it felt more of an accomplishment when I actually got to see Dylan eat the food that we killed. It had much more meaning when he actually got to see the meat the way that it looked. I mean, he didn't get to just, because my son Dylan, he actually did shoot a boar as well. But when we did, we went the full length. We said the prayer. Thank you for giving us this food the way that you should do in general. I've never felt more connection with prayer when you were praying with Dylan. There was so much depth to it. And then when I got to see other hunters that I feel like they took it for granted what they were able to do, it was really moving. Mm. Yeah, I honestly can say it. Thank you for helping me through that experience, because it's obviously a first time. So you go, oh God, that's death. But I didn't look at it as death. I looked at it more as there's so many of them that don't get to serve a purpose.
Mm, wow.
And ours did.
It certainly did. Both of those hogs have fed us tonight. They fed everybody here at the New Year's party that's still out there hanging out. And it will continue to. I mean, we took almost 70, 75 pounds of hog meat there. That's going to feed us for a good long time.
It was emotional. It wasn't just something like, yes, I'm going to go mount this thing on my wall and I'm not going to taste what I fed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was really moving. So for those, even males, male or female, if you ever get the opportunity to experience that, it means so much more. I promise you, the next day when I went to the grocery store and looked at the meat, I looked at it differently.
Mm. Steve, do. Would you go come hunting with us?
I ain't got that kind of money. What are you talking about?
Well, we can go hunting on the side of the road if we want to. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be where you actually where there's an excess.
If that's the case, I've already killed a deer, or not a deer. I've already killed a rabbit, and I'm sure a couple other things.
Sweet.
If the car counts.
That's how you learned, right? I mean, yeah, far as skinning?
By hitting them with a car?
Kill?
No. Oh, I thought you said rabbits. Didn't rabbit. You like skin yeah. rabbits?
Well, he's hit a rabbit with a car. Or he's hit.
I see. Okay. Can we delete that yeah. in the last 5 seconds?
Probably not. That's why we go live.
Okay. I didn't hear that part. I just heard the rabbit part.
Rabbit.
I do apologize. Go on with that's your funny okay. self.
Well, actually, Adam said, yeah, Patricia skinned the boar. And I was like, is that a euphemism?
She really skinned that thing last night. No.
It's a little TMI.
Adam. It was actually a real deal. I was skinning the boar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the full effect because so many people look. I mean, if anyone judges right here sitting over someone that hunts or decides to go out and do that and makes a judgment, and let's say they're not vegetarian, let me be PC here. Fuck you. Because the truth is, as holistic as you think you are, if you can eat the hamburger at the store, if you go buy what you buy, but then you mock people that hunt, well, you're still eating the same thing. And because someone does it for you, you don't understand. You know, so for other people that haven't experienced that, what it's like to really go into the wilderness to take a life of something and then be grateful for that life, help it cross over, say thank you for feeding my family.
I was really appreciative that you taught that to my son. I mean, it's never been expressed.
It's a must because when you allow the spirit to cross over, you thank it for that because it will feed you. And until one experiences that, you're not that organic. You're not as organic as you really think you are, much less self-sustaining or helping in a sense, because without the processing plants, without the mass fucking food marketing, fucking shove it down your throat farms, without that and your drive-throughs that we pick up the burger so nicely and you just walk away. Well, you're leaving the blood on everyone else's hands, but you still eat it. So when you do it this way, you're talking as wild as it gets. Yeah. This is organic as the fucking meat gets. Yeah, right? You take it yourself. I mean, literally, the hog we ate tonight was in the woods 2 days ago or a day and a half ago. You know, no processing, no preservatives.
That wasn't a sport.
Yeah, it was no killing for sport. That's not. And I'm sorry, if you're that fucking dude that wears camouflage and drives a giant truck and then shoots shit so you could say, I shot shit, and you put it on your wall and you don't fucking thank it, you don't fucking acknowledge what you're doing, and you don't use every piece of it, and you pose and you smile for the trophy, I will tell you, you are a piece of shit. Fuck you, and I don't like you. If you go to Africa and you're shooting fucking elephants and you're shooting lions, I get it for the population. It helps. Trust me, you hunters. I get it that hunting keeps them alive. I understand that. But if you're going there to shoot that and mount it and post it, well, you're just a fucking arrogant asshole.
Yeah, it's just a trophy.
Go stab it, okay? If you want to take a lion, go stab it, you piece of shit, if you're so hardcore. If you got it. Yeah. Anybody can stand 300 yards a fucking way and shoot it with a fucking rifle, okay? Yeah. You know, otherwise, you know, you want to bow hunt or do something, I'm in. It's a little bit more game. It's harder for you. But if you're shooting shit just to pose for it and put it on your wall, well, fuck you. You're a problem. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. You're a problem. You're a piece of shit problem that doesn't fucking appreciate Mother Nature and what she gives
us. It makes
it
bad for the people that do it.
Did I go off a minute? I went off a minute.
You went off a minute. I think they should strip you buck naked in a loincloth with a spear, but that's just me.
Yeah.
That would be hotter. I would even pay to watch you do that.
Me? Oh, me.
You spear someone. Or someone.
It's
something.
Getting weird. It's getting weird.
No, you know what? I have to say this, though. I was thinking of you and I were actually discussing this the other day as far as, and I can say this because a lot of my favorite loved ones that are vegetarians, those plants, which we've all seen, some of those that you do eat, do have some sort of emotion compared to like if you play the music right for them. So there's something in them that makes them different from something else. So whether or not your level of what is alive and what is not and what has feelings, those plants that get feelings that they're hurt, their feelings are hurt when you're talking negatively or if they don't have the proper lighting, things like that. Where is it okay, or when did it become okay to eat that?
That's
something that
point.
Has something, some meaning because, to themselves. It's just a different type of meaning.
They don't have eyeballs. But see, I'm a true vegetarian because I only eat the things that eat the vegetables.
That's what my brother used to say. When somebody would offer him a salad, he would go, no, that's what food eats. Food eats that. I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay. So take the stores away from the entire world. How many plants do you decide that are fulfilling?
Yeah, exactly. And look, they've shown it, right? You brought up a great point. Is they did the experiment with the kids in the classroom. They had half the kids in the classroom right. say nice things to the plant, and the other half of the classroom say mean things to plants. Those ones that were said mean things to, they died, they wilted, they died faster. That just happened. And the ones they spoke positively right. to flourished.
So there's some life to them.
Right. right. And not to mention, I already mentioned the other tree, whether it's the mustard or echinacea tree in Africa yeah. that lets the other parts of the
yeah,
plant
yeah,
know.
It changes.
Yeah, change your taste, mm-hmm. get sour now, they're coming. Well, this means they're fucking alive. And not to mention, they operate like we do on mitochondria. They operate the very similar way that we do. But yet, they don't have feelings. That's okay. It just seems like, well, like Kurt Cobain said, you can eat fish because they don't have feelings, right? And then that's okay.
I heard it in a song. It's true.
Yeah. I heard it in a song. Must be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt said it. Must right. be true.
Definitely.
And then so they now we realize plants also have feelings, communicate, they radiate, they yeah. vibrate. They had one where they're bouncing off vibrations from a mm-hmm. song right. and it played back through a Dorito bag and plants.
Yeah.
Like I've seen that. So, I mean, what's the line, right? Where do we go? Well, they're okay. Fish don't have feelings. We can eat them. Plants don't have eyeballs. We can eat them. It doesn't matter. But you guys are murderers that shot a pig and took yeah. it home and ate it.
And for me, I just look at it like this. Whatever you put in your face, it's not going to pay my bills. I'm not sleeping with you. And I don't have, you're not paying my check, signing it, nothing. So I'm going to go, do you like the way that tastes? Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
And it tasted wonderful this yeah. evening.
Or that phenomenal tofu salad.
That's shitty.
But it may be phenomenal to them. So you go, great. It looks beautiful. Whatever. Whatever makes you happy when you're eating and fulfilled.
Max and Brooke make it look like, okay, maybe I could eat that. I could eat that way.
Max is my brother and Brooke is his wife. Two of my wonderful best friends. And they recently went vegetarian. So I can still talk shit to them and go, I remember that meat dripping down your cheek. So they're doing it, I think, more for the health reasons in their reasoning.
Sure.
As opposed to the value of it.
Like, have you ever tried vegetarian, moral? Steve?
No, I don't like vegetables.
Yeah, I tried. I did. I tried for a month. I really did.
To be a vegetarian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I fucking gained weight. I gained weight because I was eating
a lot of
too many beans to substitute the protein yeah. and the protein turns to fat. And then I got all kinds of messages. They were like, you didn't do it long enough. You didn't wait. You have to let it try. And I'm going, I felt like shit. I felt tired. I was slept all the time. I didn't want to do anything. I want to say anything. I was just like, and I'm eating too many beans. I'm farting like a fucking crazy person. I'm all over the place. And I'm just like, this is not for me. And then people kept telling me I didn't wait long enough. I was supposed yeah. to do it longer.
I just almost end up any eating donuts, chocolate, candy.
Yeah. Like, how did you feel after?
Those aren't meat, but I don't like enough vegetables to stay a vegetarian.
No. You know, you start to get really creative. Like I can say a lot of Brooke's recipes are phenomenal. They're great. You don't even feel like you're missing anything. But I feel like I'm not going to skip out on something because it's meat.
That's how I feel, where I'm like, and what is it? Why do vegetarians try to make every meal like a meat person? It's a vegetarian hamburger. Why the fuck wouldn't you just make a veggie something else? Why does it have to resemble all the fucking meat you used to eat?
Well, because they got pleasure from it.
See, so they're fucking lying.
Have you seen the vegetarian products that they're creating now that actually have, they taste like meat? They have a blood substitute that's made from vegetable extract, and they actually taste like chicken and burgers.
That's
like
a lot.
When you
eat
this thing, you cannot tell that it isn't a burger because it has a blood substitute in it. And that's the protein from the blood is what gives the meat the taste. So they've made this protein. I can't remember which vegetable, a rutabaga or something like that.
Rutabaga. I had rutabaga. To repeat it.
But if you look it up, I'm telling you, they have, there's a couple of companies that are doing it, and there will be vegetarian
blood substitute.
Well, yeah, because it isn't real blood. It's from vegetables, but it has the proteins that make up what the blood tastes like. And that's what gives meat the flavor is the blood.
Whoa.
Whoa. So blood take that substitute. And vegetarian.
Right. I mean, see, why? You're a vegetarian, but yet I need all my shit to taste like chicken.
Well, because they like the taste of chicken. They just don't like what the corporations are doing with the processing of meat.
I would agree.
That gets us that meat.
I would agree with that. Processed
farms. If everybody had a couple of chickens in their yard and then they ate eggs and killed one chicken after.
I would agree with that. That industrial farming shit is fucking nasty.
But when you kill like a million animals a day to feed the population, that's a whole. But you had also raised those animals. And how there's so many different companies that are, they talk about the how much water it takes. You know, all these people in other countries are going without water, yet like 70% of, or not 70%, maybe like 40% of the Earth's water goes to
agriculture
for cattle.
Cattle, jeez. Well, I mean, and some of the like the ag gag laws now, you can't even film what's happening inside these processing plants. You can't even film it now.
I have to say, though, I don't want to watch that either. That's probably why it was more fulfilling for me when we did go and do it ourselves. I know where it's been from the time that it was killed, you know? I mean, obviously, everybody can't do that. Even myself, we couldn't afford to do that all the time. But
can you all excuse me for a moment? Would you mind taking care of this podcast for me? I got to handle something.
Absolutely.
I'll be right back.
All right. So
Adam's gonna step out.
That's okay. It's because we've got lots of guests coming in and out, which is good. So Steve, let's hear your point of view as far as like ultimately are you a vegetarian potential?
I don't mind.
Like, would you try it?
I would try the vegetable that tastes like meat.
You're one of those guys.
I would try.
Have you had like the mushroom burger where it like tastes like a big portobello mushroom in placement of a burger is actually quite fulfilling. It does. It's pretty meaty tasting. It almost has that same taste if you flavor it correctly, like the same sort of seasoning that you would like regular meat. It's pretty good.
That's all for you.
And honestly, like I've had plenty of things that Brooke and Max made and I didn't feel like, what the fuck am I eating? Why are we eating this shit? I didn't feel that way. So they took the time to do that. And I have to, I mean, like my brother Max, his cholesterol was really horrible and it has gone down quite a bit. I don't know if enough to say that's the way to go, you know, but they seem to be really happy with the whole vegetarian thing.
I'm not opposed to the vegetarian lifestyle and the people who do it, absolutely, go for it. And I know it's definitely healthier for you. Our bodies aren't really designed to process it.
So you do believe that it's healthier, though?
I believe that our bodies aren't made to process as much meat as we ingest because of how easy it is to access. I think it would be healthier if we had less. But I'm not opposed to, like, if somebody wants a burger, whatever. Because I'll eat a burger, a steak, the pork that you guys brought back. It's all good. But yeah, no. Should I be eating more vegetables? Yes. should I be eating less junk food? Yes.
But you don't feel like you should be eating less meat?
Probably.
Okay. You eat a lot of meat?
No. I mean, I don't eat a lot of meat, but I could probably do with less. If I substitute it with better things, then yes, I could do it without a lot of meat. Some of the sweets that I end up eating just because
I can't lie, I do appreciate some a really good steak. Like that's my favorite ribeye. Yeah, but those are great, but I could probably without it.
If it's every night,
no, we try to limit it. I mean, I think
again, that's everything in moderation.
Right.
I think if it's like, oh, once in a while, it's like, oh, that's great.
I like to have a good steak maybe once a week, maybe once every, maybe 10 days, ribeye, something like that. But, you know, we eat a lot of fish and chicken and stuff like that. So I don't really like feel like I'm missing out on the whole protein thing. But when I do have guests over that are vegetarian, it's not too difficult to accommodate. But, you know, you still get into that discussion of the whole moral thing when you get to see those videos of the pigs that don't ever get to move. They're in that little, I call it a cubicle, but, you know, they don't get to ever move. They're literally like, yeah, those kind of videos and stuff. And I think that's the reason they're banning it, because it is horrible to watch, the ones that aren't properly done.
And I think that's one of the big things that a lot of the people who, not a lot of people, some of the people who go vegetarian, that's their argument.
The inhumane.
Yeah. Is we're a bunch of monsters, and it's easier for people to be monsters when they don't see
how it's processed. Okay. But
how the meat is made. If you don't know how it's made, then it's easy to go to Wendy's or Burger King or McDonald's and pick up a burger and eat it, because
you don't get to see where it came from, what happened.
Oh, it just comes from the window. And that's, again, that's another good thing that they bring up, is you bring your kids. Like, no kid knows where food comes from. Food comes from the grocery store or the window. So like you said, when, you know, you brought Dylan up there, he got to see this is how the fudge is made. Or,
you know, Adam and I decided we weren't going to get Christmas gifts for the kids and stuff like that and take them on an experience. Obviously, we could only have one here. My other kids are older, and we took Dylan and Morgan. And it was just such an amazing lesson, I think, in general. Even if they became vegetarians, great. I would love them just the same. However, at least they got to experience it themselves, what it feels like, or to see that animal, things like that. And even the skinning process, it's not a pretty picture. Actually, it's a really good picture. We did take a couple of good ones, but you did feel like it was an accomplishment, like almost a bit voyeuristic, where you go, I fucking killed that shit, and I skinned it, and I ate it, and it fed my family. It's a really gratifying feeling. Do you think that they feel like that when they chop up their broccoli?
No, because they didn't grow the broccoli, pluck the broccoli. Again, it's just as easy to get vegetables now as it is to get meat.
It's actually just as fulfilling to grow it too. My mom grows them all the time, and she sends me pictures of what she's grown and stuff. And I go, oh, I wish that would be so much fun. I haven't taken the time to experience that though, but I would like to.
Well, in a lot of places, it's illegal to do that. You can't grow your own food.
Not even just vegetables? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like I think there was something here in Winter Park in Florida where a guy turned his entire front yard into a very beautiful looking garden.
And he was using his land.
Yeah, he was using his land, his front yard. Nice little arch and everything. And
it didn't look like a shit
off
job.
The ground. It was off the ground.
Oh, okay.
Like it was a raised garden. And yeah, they made him demolish it, take it down. They destroyed it. Yeah,
that's terrible.
The city did.
Yeah, I get
not a homeowners, which a homeowners, if you try to grow something in your front yard that wasn't approved, the homeowners association won't let you do it.
I'd say that's one thing that really bothers me, is that, you know, there's other countries where I think it's Switzerland, where you can't throw away shit. You have to basically give it to people if you know, there's no excess that's thrown away or whatever. I think my father, he owned a catering service, so it was a bakery or whatever. And so often we would go to the back of the house, you know, and you'd throw away all these baked goods, and you'd see all the other restaurants throwing away their perfectly good food because they're required to. Even if there's a homeless man back there and you're the owner of that place, you cannot give that food to them. And it's horrible. I mean, yes, I did. At the end of my route, when I would go and sell the bagels and the bear claws and salads, all those things, when my route was over, I mean, obviously you can't resell the food the next day. I would literally stop it. And there was this homeless guy, Mike. I would always give him our extra food and stuff. But it was because it was a mom and pop owned shop. But the shops that actually abide by the unfortunate rules, you can't just give them the food.
Yeah.
They throw away such good food at restaurants all the time. That's just wasted.
And it goes even beyond that. I worked at a grocery store that I will not name, but I worked in produce, and you would have to pull the bruised fruit and the stuff that was just you know, a little bad.
Wasn't pretty.
Yeah, it just wasn't pretty. And you'd have to put it in a box and throw it in the garbage. And if you had, when you process stuff, when you cut up like watermelon chunks and pineapple and you make the little fruit salad and stuff,
yeah.
if they were.
The gate was killing him.
If they were over, if they didn't sell in 2 days, you'd have to take them off the shelf. Yeah. Now they were still good, but if you had them 3 or 4 days and then somebody took them home and had them 3 or 4 days, then it wouldn't be as good anymore.
Yeah.
But there was nothing wrong with the fruit. But after that 2 day mark, if it didn't sell, you threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
And again, that'd be perfectly good watermelon slices and chunks and all this good stuff. And it's like in the garbage.
That would be like, to me, one of the quickest things that you could do immediately in our own country is to see how we can change that to where no food is actually wasted. People, you know,
I saw some videos and stuff that that's just the food after we get it. There's also the food before we get it.
Yeah.
All the bananas was one of the things that they were showing, is that bananas come in and they have sorters. Who
the bruised ones? They
no, not bruised.
The white ones, green.
If they're too long, they have whole bunches. They just take and throw in the garbage.
Oh, really?
They get rid of them because the whole bunch, the bananas are too long. They should be about this big. If they're anything longer than that, they throw them in the garbage. Anything too short, too long, throw in. And again, thousands of pounds of bananas that are perfectly fine. They just don't meet. What you look
the
at
standards
in the grocery
as to what's
store,
expected.
They just chuck them.
Yeah, that's so
and
sad.
And it's like, there was absolutely nothing wrong with those bananas.
Yeah. Where is the morality in all of that kind of stuff? You know, there's so many things. I think we were talking about
it's not just
this.
Farming animals. It's in the produce and stuff.
Yeah, right? It's in everything where you go, stop wasting all this stuff that could be nourishing. And, you know, for families that can't even afford all that kind of stuff, like even the people that, you know, when you're now allowed to have the card to go to fast food places, that's you know, where it's government assisted. Now
yeah,
they can
the EBT.
Yeah, now you can go get all that kind of stuff at the places that aren't so healthy. You go, how do you weigh that out? Do you go, are we advocating just free money to get unhealthy food, or should you make it to where, okay, if we're giving you, we as in the government, giving you free money for food? Should it be more mandated that it should be healthy, or should we just mind our business and say, we're giving you food to feed you?
But here's the thing. You're going to mandate the people who don't have any money that we're going to give you money. And then you have to buy healthy food, but everybody else can get fat and stupid and ugly and, you know,
yeah,
like
unhealthy,
eat unhealthy, but not you.
Yeah.
You have to eat healthy.
But they act, but their mentality is they will be doing them a favor. So where do you draw that line of what you're in control of?
I think that goes back into the government micromanaging. There's a lot of different stuff that the government does that
we don't even realize.
The government is the people, and the money that they give is the people who work. People who works, their money goes to everything else. But they spend all of our money on things that we don't want them to spend it on.
How cool would it be to have a world that everybody gets paid in a world where you actually get paid for your physical labor? How the world would be reversed if it was
hypothetically
physical labor. There's a lot of people that have inherited their funds or their whatever, their careers. All that. What if it was switched to where everyone was paid for what they actually do? Did how much would the world change?
Isn't that the way it's supposed to be right now?
It's supposed to be, but it's not necessarily what it does as far as performance goes anyways. You know, kind of like that movie Shallow Hal, you know, where you see where they truly are. You know, when you walk in the room and there's a
it's like,
room.
How does that have to do with you working?
I'll tell you why. The people that are working harder and not getting paid for what the work that they're doing. That's what I'm saying. The ones that are kind of skating.
But who determines what's worth something?
Well, I'm not speaking of value. I'm speaking of physical labor. if I was going to go value, sure, there's plenty of doctors that could have a thought that's worth a million. You know what I'm saying? But for instance,
a doctor isn't doing physical labor.
Yeah, that's what my point was. If we switched it around to where people actually were paid for physical labor, how different the world would be.
Everybody would be dead.
Right.
Because nobody would want to be a doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
Or nobody would want to be, there would be no art.
Because
there's no physical labor involved in that. That's just creativity.
That's very, very true.
Everything, there would be no internet. Things that you don't pay attention to.
Yeah. Things that are probably looked past.
There would be a big
including myself.
There would be tons
the value of it, I should say.
That go nowhere.
Dishes.
Ditches.
Oh, I said dishes. Oh, those will be done. There's plenty of people that will want to wash dishes. I agree with you. And you bringing that up too is when people like myself might look past the things that do have more value than we should appreciate, including myself, like what you were suggesting or saying the people that do put labor into it with their minds and figuring it out, the time consuming part of it.
Well, and what you do with the notary, there's no physical labor involved in that other than moving some papers around.
Well, sometimes there is when we drive 3 hours. There's some physical, but yeah, I agree with you.
But that's not physical. That's just time. Doesn't take muscles to drive your car.
I would have to find a new profession.
Exactly. You'd be trying to dig a ditch somewhere.
But that's the value of it. Is when you'd have to actually try something different to where you would appreciate some different things in your life that you haven't experienced.
Well, see, but if that was the case, then literally we wouldn't have to work. Because if you took that same energy and you were free to grow your own food and take care of your animals, what would you need to go to a job for? What would you need to get paid for? Well, you could just work in your own fields and grow your own food.
Yeah, and that's how you would be paid, and you would express or learn the value of it, I should say. Even myself, I learned such a value in 2 days that I've never experienced before. Like, for instance, the labor that's put into the meat that you eat. You know what I mean? Like, even at the grocery store, that's what I'm saying. I see it so differently now because you see the work that's put into it. Even the guys that were actually cutting it all up and making it look better than anybody else.
You're just basically talking about we should go back to living 150 years ago.
No, not at all. I'm basically saying, imagine what.
You still want AC, that's what.
No, I'm saying more so, like, imagine the way people would feel that didn't ever have to experience the labor aspect of it, the physical labor, not the mental smarts. I'm not downplaying that at all. I'm saying, let's say for a day, how different the roles would change. Maybe people's opinion would change if they actually had to physically labor, including myself. I mean, wouldn't it mean, it would make the value of the dollar mean so much more probably to a lot of people.
Maybe, yeah.
You never know. It would be a good experience at least, right?
Oh, I definitely believe that everybody should.
We were discussing my point was a little bit out there, but it was more so leaning towards just saying, imagine what the world would be like if people had to physically work to earn their money labor-wise as opposed to intellectually or something like that, to how different the world would be maybe if everybody was paid for their physical labor. And Steve brought up a good point that it doesn't always require physical labor to have value, like a doctor or someone that uses their brain as a physical labor, which I was acknowledging. Those are some things that, like, people like myself maybe look past and don't pay attention to how much it really means.
There's certainly a difference between making money by moving digits around on a computer and building something or demoing something or physical hard labor. And I've done it all. I've put roofs on in the middle of fucking August in Florida. I've demoed buildings, those fucked up jobs that you think are terrible. And there's definitely a stark difference between the physical labor and the cerebral. But I can also say that I've come home from physical labor and still been okay. I've come home from cerebral labor and been like, I'm not fucking moving.
Yeah, exhausted.
I need to be still, mm-hmm. You know. But I think you bring up definitely an interesting point, though, that if people literally had to go out and sweat for every dollar that came in, as opposed to, well, I paid my dues. I went to school. I paid for the thing and literally had to specifically work your way up the ladder.
Yeah.
Literally work your way up the ladder, not kiss ass and hopefully someone likes you enough to move you up the ladder, but literally work your ass off the ladder. That's a different fucking ball game. It is, because after 10 years, 20 years, when the body's going, I can't fucking do this anymore, the brain gets to keep going a little longer. So whatever job is cerebral for you is more mental. You're going to carry that longer, but that physical labor wears on your body, on your mind over time.
Yeah, it was more so for me. I think it's when everybody goes like this, okay, everybody has all this confidence in what you do today, and you're okay with maybe ridiculing others, including myself, to where you go, okay, let's switch lives. Let's see how I feel. Do I have the same opinion? Do I have the same, do I want everybody to have the same rights and everything if we switch? Mm. That's what I'm more getting towards of. Does everybody have the same opinion? Oh, the same opinion. If you switch your role to someone that didn't get the opportunity to go to college or the same opportunities to you, would that money have the same value to you?
The value of a dollar, they say, right?
Yeah. More so that I'm not trying to downplay anybody else's works, but if it was switched, how would everybody feel? Would they feel the same way as far as how much they are worth to this world that they value themselves?
Mm. Deep.
He brought up really good points, and I actually, you know, when you really stop and think about what you're saying, you know, like about people and what they do, not to underestimate what they do, even if it's not necessarily a physical aspect. And I picked that up.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying that if you only got paid for the physical things you did, there wouldn't be art, there wouldn't be music, science,
right?
Because there's no physical labor involved in.
Yeah. Well, the physical labor can come from hours. I mean, like writing a book, right? Seems cerebral, like, but the physical.
I think physical labor as in sweat inducing.
Right. Well, dude, I was sweating my ass off writing that book.
Well, that was a different kind of sweat.
Yeah. I mean, but it's still, it's a physical draining, you know, when you're really flexing that muscle, that cerebral muscle to really pump something out, not just the bullshit, you know, to where you're just doing what you do typically, you know, crunching numbers or some shit like that you do in routine.
I did see that value of it, especially the day that you did those three podcasts. That does take a lot out of you.
Fuck, you know, man. That day, dude, we've done half where we had 5-6 in a fucking day, man. And knocking out just the three that day. And those are some cerebral cats, man. I mean, Sol and Sean, I mean, and Marwan, everybody was pretty cerebral that day. And when you come off a good hour and a half each time of doing that, bruh, I come off the podcast like, I'm fucking beat. Like, I'm done. Like, I can't move. It's hard to even work out. Usually what I like to do after a podcast, go right to working out or outside or something. But fuck, man, it's draining.
It takes a lot to get back up there and, like you said, go work out, force yourself to do that, even though you're like, I know I didn't go anywhere.
And that's what people are going to be doing, right? New Year's. Here comes New Year's. We got to change our routine. We're going to enforce new changes, you know. And I think I almost remember statistic, but it's almost 75-80% of the resolutions are broken by February 1st.
Yeah.
You know, so you start these arbitrary deadlines and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, fuck, I feel guilty.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. You know what? This is the 1 year that I've actually not set New Year's resolutions. The first year I've set personal just little things, but not the typical way I used to, which with the resolutions where you're writing a list of everywhere that I need to improve. I didn't do that this year.
Well, I don't think you need to improve much of anywhere, to be honest. Well,
everybody does. That's sweet of you to say.
Everybody?
Oh, thank you.
Everybody?
I can say in that situation, everybody has room for improvement.
Is this one time where a determinate word applies?
I'm very determined about that statement. Everybody has room for improvement. That is one time I think I can get away with that word.
I would agree.
Well, you were mentioning if roles were reversed, it reminded me of I think it was a quote by Jim Rohn, or maybe his mentor, who said, I hope you become a millionaire, not so that you have the money, but that so you know the mentality that it takes to get to that spot.
Mm.
Not because if you give, and one of the other things somebody either he said or somebody else said, is that if you give a poor person $1 million and you take $1 million away from a millionaire, within a year, that poor person will have $0 and the millionaire will be a millionaire again.
Yeah. Mm.
Because money doesn't matter. It's the mindset that it takes to get to that point.
And as much as that sounds good, some of it is, yeah, but a lot of them are the leg up, right? The who you know.
Oh, no. The people who earn the million.
Oh, that started.
Not just somebody who has a million.
Gotcha.
But somebody who earned the million.
So you're saying they're more prone to be able to just give it away, the ones that were given it to them. They can give it away, blow it off, no big deal, wasn't an achievement. Just like a new car for a kid, you go, I'm going to buy this, my son or my daughter, whatever, a piece of shit car so they appreciate it. Or I'm going to have them buy it themselves because then it's such a value.
Yeah.
As opposed to if you go, look, this, check this shit out.
When the parent buys you the car, you're looking for that brand new one. When you buy your own for $1,000, you're like, that's my shit.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? The mentality that you have when you're looking at it, you're like, yeah, that looks good. Clean this shit up. And then somebody else gives it to you. And you're like, I probably would have liked a different color maybe.
you know what I mean? You get all picky and shit.
Yeah, where you go, gosh, what happened to you? Why? How do you not value that?
Yeah.
Well, because it was free.
Yeah.
Right.
It has no value. I didn't pay for it.
I didn't work for it.
Mm-hmm. It's just like the old saying, when your parents, when you're a kid, close that door, shut that light.
Turn it off.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You don't know. You live in a barn. When you get an adult, what happens? Turn that light off. What do you do? Because now you're paying the bills.
You know what's
funny? You're paying the electric bill. You're paying the AC.
Electric boxes. I would say that was one time that my kids actually got to learn the value of the penny or the dollar, you know, where you can, instead of just having an account, whatever, you have this electrical box and you put your card in and that's how long you have electricity. And then you have to go reload the card. And
what is this?
It's so I'm pretty sure it's with the SRP. In Arizona, we have APS. I don't know if it's in different states, but it's almost like you pay as you go. So if there's no money on your card, your electricity turns off.
You have pay as you go electricity?
Yeah.
This is the Metro PCS of electricity?
Absolutely. And guess what? There's people that don't have credit, they don't have shit. And they have to rely on, I'm going to pay for this shit as I go because I'm not going to pay for it if it's an account, right?
Yeah.
So, yes. Patricia has had a fucking card.
Prepaid electricity.
Basically what it is. So you put the card in and then it starts to beep when the electricity's going out. You better run to the fucking grocery store, reload that shit, put the card back in, and you have electricity still. You learn the value of the fucking penny.
Interesting. Because
when there was, you know, when those little numbers are going lower and the kids know, we need to go to the grocery store real quick so I can load some electricity in this so we don't have our lights turned off. Believe me. When I put that $20 on that card, they're like, oh, shit, $20. We have electricity. We can play Xbox tonight. You know what I mean? It's a whole different ballgame than as opposed to what kid has ever even seen a fucking bill?
Mm.
None. Yeah. So when they got to see me loading up that card, as bad as it might appear to somebody else, I remember that feeling of being in that grocery store and going, yes, I knew I had more money in my account, but I was like, we better hurry. We got to go put that money in because guess what? That same fucking day, my kids turned off those lights. They would make sure they didn't run that washing machine because they knew, shit, there's only $20 on there and that store closes at midnight.
Mm.
And they learned that value.
That's good.
It's a weird lesson, but it worked.
Yeah, no, there's
all kinds. I never heard of that.
Me either. You're kind of the, that's two or three things that you've done with changing the Christmases around and what you do and doing something like that. You're a great mother.
Hey, that wasn't intentional with the box, but it worked. It wasn't intentional, but it did save me money because it was a shitty feeling when you'd get that number when they would say, your bill is $365 to have that air conditioning that month in that little teeny apartment. You go, fuck, I would rather have made payments. I'll skip that Starbucks that day and get that extra, you know, that extra electricity.
They start to see it.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily people that are not well off. It's just the way that they did it for a certain situation if you didn't have an account. But it was a major lesson that my kids got to witness of the value of the dollar.
What is a major lesson of 2017? We got to wrap this up a little bit. We have a few guests out there that are waiting on us, et cetera, but yeah, a little bit. So in 2017, as we're walking away, what's a lesson that either one of you took away from 2017 that you can apply either to your life philosophy or going into 2018 or something new that you said, you know, I didn't know, but now I know, and this is something I've learned?
Ladies first.
I'll take it.
I just learned that too myself.
I'll set the bar.
Okay. Well, you do that for many, many women out there. But go
you
ahead.
Know what? The lesson that I learned was there is no right answer and no wrong answer. You can, whatever you do, you're the one that's going to feel the wrath of that decision. So whatever you make, prepare for the consequences. And that is what I did this year, which was every decision I made, it maybe wasn't the greatest to the typical person on paper, but those people that are reading that paper are not living it.
Mm. Mm.
So I'm living it the way that if I fail,
you're beklempt. You're a teary-eyed.
I am. This year was a humongous change for me.
Oh, babe, you're so teary-eyed. Oh,
it really was.
Oh, it was big for me too. It was big for all of us.
Aww. It was a big deal.
Well, to build on that, if I can, what I learned this year is rather simple. Love is real. And unless you believe in something as irrational as love with someone else, you'll never experience it. And if you choose to stay objective in your life, within the subjective emotions that will make us human, you will never get to experience. And for me, you taught me this year that, well, love is not rational. And that if you wait and you're patient, well, that's worth the wait. And I learned that this year. And I learned truly that love is a thing. It's a real thing. It's not an acquisition. You don't grow to it or build up to it. But love is some irrational thing that is, well, real. And, well, I frankly would say, unless you believe that or don't believe that, you'll never feel it. And for me this year, other than the environment gives back, your life can change in one quick decision. And tons of anxiety can come from guilt, in case you didn't know it, that when you eliminate the guilt, some anxiety can go away. But beneath all the, or above all of those negative things, that love's a thing, and it can fill you up, and it's something to believe in.
I believe that.
Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls.
I'm sorry. It was a really interesting year for me. It wasn't all good. It was bad too, and different experiences and stuff like that. Like, I've not been away from my kids. That was hard, but my kids grew.
No, they're grown.
Well, I know. No. They're older, but you don't stop growing when you get older.
That's true.
And I think that they learned ginormous lesson this year. Mm. And I'm grateful for that.
Steve, what's your brother? What's your exit, man? Something you learned this year? Take us out of here, producer of the Cognitive Rampage podcast. Live.
Say the taco? The
yeah.
Taco.
Producer of the taco. The taco.
It ain't taco, Tuesday, taco. But you have a voice.
I don't know. 2017 has been a long year.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Been filled with lots of craziness, inside, outside. Some love, some loss, divorce.
Mm.
That all happened. Work. But the good and the bad that you were talking about, the decisions, the consequences, that's been an ongoing reality. And a mental process and a spiritual process for me as well.
Hmm.
Is life, it used to be a good thing or a bad thing would happen. Like, oh man, this is bad, this is horrible. And like, oh, that's a good thing. And then it just hit me years ago that it isn't good or bad. It's just life.
Yeah.
And it can be good or bad. That's all kind of up to you. So like you said, is you have to deal with the consequences. Whatever decision you make, you just have to make a decision. It doesn't matter what the decision is. Like you said in your toast, if you make a good decision, then it'll all work out. If it doesn't, if you make a horrible decision, it'll all work out. Because as long as you keep moving and you don't let yourself get trapped by your own mental mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, what you're supposed to.
Then you can move forward and you can be filled with joy, love. But you got to be willing to open yourself up to risk getting hurt, to risk being loved, and to risk letting go.
That's a huge line, to risk being loved.
It is a risk. You are really putting yourself out there to say,
well said, sir.
You can have this. Take care of it. I hope you do.
Well said, sir. I like that.
I agree.
We accept the love that we think we deserve. And if 2017 did not bring you the love that you think you deserve, well, then I suggest you find a new love.
Maybe you just need to redefine what love is.
Redefine what that means to you, and perhaps spend 2018 and fall in love with yourself, because that's okay to do. It's okay.
It's the most important.
Agreed.
Because if you don't love you, how can anybody else?
You can't.
You can't accept a love from somebody if you don't know what it means to love you. How are they supposed to figure it out?
I think so many people are looking for the one instead of looking for being the one.
Whoa! Damn!
Think about it. If you walk around thinking that you're the one.
Shit, why are you tripping me out right now, Patricia?
No. If you walk around feeling like you're the one, you are now the one that's seeked.
Damn.
Hold on. Can you unscrew these?
Yeah, I'm done. Can we drop these?
How do we drop these fucking mics? No. Over.
I don't think so.
Jesus. Podcast over. Mic drop. Jesus. That's the fucking truth. Because if you're fucking walking, man, that's the truth, man. I love that, babe. Because if you are walking around looking for the one, you don't think you are the one. Or if you can't find it, you think something's wrong with you. But man, I'll take your two words of advice this year to people. It's worth the fucking wait, and treat yourself like you are the one.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. I fucking love you too. And I love you too.
Love you all. And all you people
listening and talking, I said it when I hugged them and I gave them both Happy New Years and stuff like this. But Steve, live on air, I tell anybody, you're the best friend a man could have. I'm telling you, you're a great man. You've been there for me. You do things, man, that friends I've known 20 years don't do. And you're a great man. And
just don't tell people what they are.
I'm telling everybody. And you're a great friend and somebody I count on and somebody I love very much. And if there's a single woman out there and you're looking for an actual good man,
look, I'll screen them.
Yeah, Patricia and I are going to screen you. We're going to filter you first. But I'm telling you, Steve is a hard catch, man. And as a friend to a friend, it's a hard catch, even as a friend, man. And so I appreciate it and I'm grateful and thank you since July 2015 and 3 months before that when we bonded and really just putting just love into what you do for us and the websites that we do and everything else that you do, man. And I honestly don't know a better friend. It's hard to know a better friend, man. And I thank you and I'm grateful for you.
Ditto.
He went all ghost on me.
Yes.
Ditto. I referenced an 80s movie called Ghost where he would never say, I love you. He would just say ditto.
Yeah.
So I'll take that one on the exit.
Autumn sunrise. That's from Ghost.
Yeah.
When she's talking about her hair, she goes, you changed your hair. You like it? It's autumn sunrise. That's the lady that's talking to that lady.
For a minute, I thought it was fried green tomatoes, the way you're saying it.
Yeah, she says it just like that. It's pretty. You'll replay it.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
What?
I haven't either.
Ghost?
Oh, Ghost, yeah.
That's in Ghost.
Okay, yeah, I've seen Ghost. Yeah. But I don't know the line.
Well, the lady's basically talking to that lady that.
Whoopi Goldberg?
No, the other one. Whoopi is going to see the other one anyway.
The lady is there.
And she's looking at her and she goes, you like my hair? The spirit she's talking to says, oh, you changed your hair. And she goes, oh, you like it? It's autumn sunrise. That was a chick remembering thing. Sorry, I just squelched the whole fucking feeling. Damn it.
No, we're good.
Delete.
We'll watch Ghost later this afternoon.
Yeah, do that.
But I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the evening. Whatever your tomorrow brings or whatever your new year brings, I will tell you this upon the exit of this podcast, that some people, even tonight and as of tomorrow, will not see 2018. Some people did not make it tonight or yesterday or last fucking week. And so as you arise tomorrow in 2018, if you want to bitch and complain and find everything to be negative about in your life or tomorrow, I want you to remember the people that did not wake up tomorrow to see 2018. Those that didn't get to choose or have a choice, but yet you wake up tomorrow and you take another breath and you get to breathe. And yet we find a way to bitch and complain about how it ain't enough for us and that we need more. Or we deserve it. Well, I promise you, no breath is promised, and no minute after the one now that we share is promised after this. So each minute or second even that transpires beyond this evening, I promise you, is more than a blessing. And I promise you that you are more than a blessing. And sometimes it's hard to grasp the fact, as Patricia said, that you are the one that someone seeks you. And in that mind change and that shift of belief, one can then discover the love for self. And maybe one day you will feel that real love. And I promise you, until you feel the real love for self, that love will elude you as if it's a deer hiding from you in the hunt. But until then, until tomorrow, until we actually see the sunrise, we are alive now. We are alive in this moment. And whatever this means tomorrow or next year, whatever death means or life means, some answers we'll never know, perhaps until the end. I tell you, be well, shoot true, speak from your heart, love your neighbor, and hug those as well as you would hug yourself if you could. Because we have made it one more year. And whether this light year represents a generation or a time or a lifespan or just your life in this moment now, it is special and we share it now together. And frankly, other than my grandma or my mama, there's two people on this earth that I don't think I'd rather share this moment with anymore. I appreciate y'all. And I love you all out there for listening. And thank you for hanging out with Patricia, Steve, and myself as we take the cognitive rampage into the next level of the frontiers yet discovered or seen. And whatever unfolds, as Steve says, we'll ride the river as it flows. And we'll see maybe this time next year if I'm still here and Steve and Patricia are still here. We can keep telling you hello and telling you to be grateful for being here. And if I'm not, that's cool. I still love all y'all, and life had been fun. But if I am still here, I'll still be blabbering at the mouth, and Steve will be telling me to stop saying certain things, and Patricia will tell me to keep saying certain things. And frankly, I'm going to say all of it, and frankly, I don't give a shit. Well, truth is, I do give a shit, and I give a shit about you and you and all of you listening. And even those people out here in our house at a party that we're paying no attention to, I love you too. And as we roll into 2018, man, well, I'd say if I hadn't probably dropped so many tears in my past, I could come up with one now in some joyful tear manner. But I'm telling you now that there is a tear dropping from my eye in this life that we lead in this spiritual existence. But if there's anything beyond here that comes after, I hope I get to do it and hang out with y'all. And that beyond this somehow, maybe I can still do a podcast and you listening may still be sitting up there going, yeah, I'm still listening, Adam.
I will be.
And I hope you do. Because we're here to listen to you and love you all. And I appreciate y'all very much. And thank you for listening for 2017 and whatever blabber I said tonight or any other time this fucking year. Thank you. Because frankly, without you listening, I'm just making noises and that shit don't mean nothing. You listening keeps me going and keeps me talking. Because at the end of all this, we're just human beings, neurotic as one another, trying to find the meaning to things as we place them on each activity or behavior moment that happens to us to say that this is our meaning. Well, if it has meaning to you, then it has meaning to me. We can have meaning together in 2018.
Here's to meaning.
Here's to meaning. Cheers. Cheers. It's just a thought. Yeah.